Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to Guardian 96.9 Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can always listen to the archived shows by going to the NAGB's website at www.nagb.org.bs. Sometimes people tell me they were listening to the show and they had to go to a meeting or they got home for dinner and they missed the end of it. So you can always go there and you can check out the whole archive. We have all the Blank Canvas shows stored going back about 5 years. It's a really interesting archive on Bahamian practitioners. So, you know, rainy season's coming up. If you get stuck in the house one day, you got something to listen to, go to www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Adult and Public Programs, and you'll find the Blank Canvas links there. While you're on the website, I really encourage our audience to, you know, to cruise around. There is so much to discover on the NAGB website. If you've never been to the National Art Gallery, which I do encourage you to do, especially since it is free every day if you live in the Bahamas. The website really is a great point of access, and it has lesson plans for teachers who are trying to integrate art into the programs, especially now with so much virtual learning. There's a teacher's portal. It has activities for parents who want to engage their kids. It has I wonder whether, do you feel like maybe you were driven in that direction because of your sort of you wanted to mine because of the situation?
No, I think I want to mine because the one side that I straddle the most is mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The other identifier is just a place where I work and live.
Yeah.
Is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's I grew up here. I've lived as an adult here. This cultural and historical landscape is mine.
It's in your body.
It's in my bones. Yeah. It has called me, and every project that I have worked on, I have been called to work on. It doesn't automatically, you know, become apparent in the beginning, but at somewhere on the line, I figure it out. Like the trip to Cat Island, I didn't know my Grammy's Grammy was a Cat Island woman.
Mm-hmm.
And after I'd been there for some 2 months, and I found out who she was and where she was from, everything else became so much easier. I felt so much grounded, and the research busted wide open. Like I've been called to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So no. It's rooted. It's Bahamian.
Like Anina and I said, we can't think of a more, you know. And what about you, Anina? Because your work also very much has to do with sort of a longing for home and
being transplanted.
I think
I'm straddling as well, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think I straddle you know, I think this work for me is initially started with a longing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think where I am now is really thinking through expanding our understanding of what Bahamian is, right? Like, I think that's where I am. And I realize, you know, I would say, like, at the beginning of my kind of, like, a woke creative journey, it was a lot about, you know, trying to figure out like who I am, and whether or not my location kind of the role that my location plays within kind of establishing who I am, and how those kind of compound with experiences. I've kind of accepted that now as a part of just the process. But I think, I guess I'm finding that, like, I don't think my story is that unique. So I, for me, it's like, if it's not that unique, then why is it not just considered a part of it? You know what I mean? Like, this idea of like migrating or changing locale, but still being connected to a particular culture, is not unique. And so
it's not unique, why does it interesting. It's interesting how for people of color, like when I think about some of those conversations, I think about, you know, in the United States, it's sort of okay to be Irish American and to be Italian American, but I feel like for other, you know, immigrants and especially minorities, there's this push to, you know, that awful word, like assimilate, right? I think it's stronger. So I think
I think there's like a default, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, in a weird way, because you're Black, you're all of a sudden African American.
There's that too, right? Is very different. Yeah.
Yeah, there's this weird like default, and I think both places struggle with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even when I come home, the idea that I'm not Bahamian because I don't live here when I've spent all my life there. You know what I mean? And then I guess I get older, and so maybe more time is being spent away.
God forbid you marry out of the nationality.
Oh gosh, right? I mean, who didn't get that talk before they went off to college?
Exactly. But,
like, it's just like thinking about that. Again, it's the same thing. Like, we really need to expand our understanding of what it means to be Bahamian, or in the flip side, what it means to be African American, and like, and that there's a whole spectrum here across the, you know, diaspora, and like, just because you have one doesn't mean it cancels out the other.
Yes.
I think that I am approaching the point where I kind of have been in the States almost as long as that I've lived in the Bahamas. And so when we start to think about that, where does that lead us, right? Like, I think that I can embody both. That's how I'm going to put it. I embody both. And my work will speak about that in different ways. And I don't have a problem with it. Because I think the reality is that there's so much more of that. And it just adds to the rich fabric, right? Like, when I think mm-hmm. about Tiffany Smith, another person in the show, when we have discussions about identity, you know, these kind of topics come up. Like, okay, well, how does that conversation happen when you're in the States versus when you're home in the Bahamas or in the Bahamas talking with people? So I don't know. I think I straddle in a space, but I'm drawn to the things that I think inherently are, no matter where I am, continuing to come to the surface. And those things, I think, speak to some authenticity of who I am. Because no matter where I am, they keep coming to the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it ties to what Tamika was saying, which is that, like, you can't, if something is in your DNA, it's in your bones, it's in your history, it's in your family stories, it's in, you know, everything you've inherited, either knowingly or unknowingly, because again, now we're learning so much about carrying trauma in our bodies and carrying history in our bodies.
Yeah.
How can you say that you're not of that place because you went to college somewhere?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We work somewhere else.
Yeah, it really, when you start looking at it like that, it really does become absurd. And the idea of kind of nationality in a weird way becomes absurd in so many ways. So we're going to go to another quick break, and then we're going to come back for the longest segment of the show, which is always when the conversation gets great. And then I'd really like to ask you specifically about your works, your particular works in the show, now that we've given the audience like a good kind of broad grasp of all the different things we're talking about. I'm here tonight with Tamika Galanis, a documentarian, archivist, artist, part of the show Floating Rib, and Anina Major, multimedia artist. I always think of you as a ceramicist, but you also, you know, cast things in bronze, and the piece in the show currently is actually a neon piece, a neon installation. Both artists in the show Floating Rib, which features 9 Black women of the Bahamas, speaking to issues of, again, you know, speaking of so many issues, but many to do with identity, Bahamian-ness or rootedness, being a woman in the world, but specifically in the Bahamas, traditions, again, things that are passed down from mother to daughter or through matriarchal societies. And many of those topics are brought up in this really, really beautiful show, which is just opened and is on until August. So we did not, unfortunately, get to have one of our big, fantastic openings due to COVID-19 protocols, but the show is lovely. We're hoping in August to have a celebratory moment for the public, but please come by and see the show anyhow. I do need to remind everybody listening that the NHEB, since Hurricane Dorian, has been free every single day for anybody living in the Bahamas. So there is no barrier to come in. It's a lovely space. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. It's nourishing. We have a garden. If you have kids, it's a great place to, you know, I think very often parents are like, oh, I don't know if I bring my kids and they're going to like run around and be crazy. Let them run around and be crazy. It's fine. We welcome that. We have lots of outdoor space, which is excellent for children. And it's really a very safe and beautiful space, which is here for you. So we really encourage you to use that. We're going to come right back to hear more from Anina Major and Tanika Galanis. You are listening to The Blank Campus, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.